Please, it's nice to tell you on what are the scriptures. Again, this series of our studies on looking at the definition of what the scriptures were and how they came about. We begin looking at some characteristics or the way that the scriptures are expressed in God's Word. They're always expressed by God spoke or God said. We looked at ways that God revealed His Word to us. And also, we looked at that these scriptures are confirmed by miracles, those words that the prophets spoke and the apostles spoke, those things that they spoke was confirmed by miracles. We looked at the internal evidence of the scriptures and that the phrase God said, thus says the Lord, is used some 3,800 times throughout the scriptures. The design of the purpose of the scriptures was to reveal God's mysteries that had been hidden from the beginning of the world, and also to reveal future acts. The results of the scriptures was they're unbreakable, they're eternal, they're our source of authority today. And we begin looking about how the scriptures came about. We looked at 2 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21, and 1 Peter 1, 10 and 12. Made reference that the prophets spoke what the Holy Spirit told them to speak. While there were many prophets, there was just a few chosen to write down the words that they spoke. And we begin to look at that. We made reference and look at that. It was statement made in Acts chapter 3 that was made there. Also, was there other prophets? Was there prophets in the book of Genesis? And throughout the Old Testament, hopefully you look at that, maybe some. We look at that, if you will, again tonight. We look where the prophets were from the book of Joshua to the Song of Solomon. And about look at maybe who wrote those books just for your personal study. We asked, was the theme of the Old Testament, the writers of the Old Testament, did the same theme, this theme carry over into the New Testament scriptures? And we made reference that the New Testament is rooted in Old Testament prophet, what they spoke and Rick wrote down. And we won't again take up with that tonight, that what the only conclusion you can come to if you study the scriptures, what the prophets wrote. And that was the source of teaching when the church first came in, even though they had the gospel revealed to them, their source of authority that they appealed to whom? Christ appealed to whom? He appealed to the Old Testament scriptures, that which he said concerned him. But we looked last week and just turned back briefly to Luke chapter 24. I thought it interesting in going back and looking at this. Even Christ here again deals with his source of authority as far as the Old Testament. When he is on the road to Emmaus, he comes in contact with these two individuals, and they are discussing in verse 18 the ones whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Have not known the things which happened there in these days?" And these days having reference the Old Testament prophecy of when Christ was to be crucified. And Christ says, "What things?" And they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people." And when you drop down to verse 24, it says, "And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." And Christ makes this statement concerning, in this context, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." He said the prophets, he reminds them of these two men, "The prophets spoke this concerning me." He says, "O foolish ones, your heart is slow to believe what the prophet spoke." He said, "Ought not, this is what the prophet spoke, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded or he explained to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. This was the context of where this statement in verse 27 was made. But if you go on and look at verse 28, "They drew near the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther, but they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, For it is towards evening, and the day is far spent, and he went to stay with them. And as it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. It says, then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. He refers to that, you're foolish ones, your heart is slow to believe, but upon blessing the bread, it talks about that their eyes were open and they knew him. Somebody may have a better explanation of exactly what he is referring to here, but again, what had hindered their sight is now taken away. Because he said, you were slow to believe. Whatever it was, maybe it was time that they had spent with him during his ministry, of the feeding of the 5,000, the numerous times that he would take bread and bless it. I don't know. Maybe Donnie's got a better answer to it, or Larry, someone. I don't know. But it goes on. He says, verse 32, they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us when he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? So even while he was discussing the scriptures concerning himself, these individuals said, did not our hearts burn within us when he was telling us about the things concerning Christ? But yet they did not know him until he broke the bread. And again, it's the idea that, you know, some scriptures may be hard to understand until a certain event takes place. And we look at that in the resurrection. That when he made the statement, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. Until that took place, they did not know the meaning of that prophecy. And so it says here, but their hearts burned. He says, you're slow to learn. But whatever it was, it opened their sight, it opened their knowledge to who he was. His teaching was from the Old Testament scriptures. Does anyone have a thought on that? Maybe a better explanation of how they come? We knew that they were not there at the Last Supper, the Passover, but again, of all the places he was, his custom was always to take something and bless it and break it. That could have been that particular incident when they saw that they connected, if you will, the scriptures, for he calls that you were time foolish about these scriptures, but now you know. But that one incident, that's my thinking through it, but that might not be correct. Any thoughts on that? Acts chapter 3, and verse 18. You have Peter and John here. He says in verse 18, verse 17, he says, yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, and also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Those things foretold, he says, he has now fulfilled, which will have reference to what? Well, we looked, it's going to have reference to those things when he comes to this world, all the prophecies about him, his death, burial, and resurrection, his ascension, he's now at the right hand of God, ruling as king. All those things that Christ said that the Old Testament scripture said about me, I have fulfilled. And the statement is made here about the mouth of all his prophets that Christ would suffer, he has fulfilled. When you go up to verse 24, concerning this, he there says, yes, and all the prophets, from Samuel to those who followed, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are the sons of the prophets, and the covenant of which God made with our father said to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turn away every one of you from your iniquities. And again, when you look back at verse 24, yes, and all the prophets, from Samuel to those who followed, has foretold of these days. These days he's having reference to is back in Acts chapter 2 when the day of Pentecost come that the gospel was first preached. That it foretold, that he says, of that, of Joel in particular, because Peter quotes from Joel in Acts chapter 2 when he talks about these days and the prophecy concerning the first preaching of the gospel came about. when we preach about prophecy today in this concerning these days, we can only preach what Joel prophesied was going to take place and not beyond that. That prophecy has been fulfilled. We cannot use that prophecy today because Peter says that it's talking about these days that Peter was living and preaching. The prophecy goes not beyond Pentecost. Okay? That was fulfilled. And that's what he says. You know, the prophets, Samuel, those who follow, as have spoken, have foretold these days. And that prophecy has been fulfilled. Any thoughts on that? Again, as we make reference, you've got to keep scriptures, that which is written in context of what they are applying to. And that particular one there, Peter, when you go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 16, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. So that's as far as that prophecy goes. That's where it ends. And to take it out of context and say, well, look here, it's applying today, it's not. And so it is ended there. In Acts chapter 8, and verse 32, a verse we're familiar with. Concerning Philip and the eunuch. The place in the scriptures which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away. Who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And again, the application of a statement from Isaiah chapter 53. The theme of the Old Testament was the same theme used in the New Testament. And the answer is yes. Because the apostles and others who preached the gospel at that time keep referring to what? When you look back at Acts chapter 3, it mentions there, yes, and all the prophets from whom? Samuel and onward. Well, it don't cover all the prophets, okay? So I gather from that, it would have application to those prophets who wrote this Old Testament. But Peter says it's from Samuel and onward. And again, we made reference to last week, you have the major prophets and you have the minor prophets. There were the majority of the writers in the Old Testament. And you have Moses. And in these, Christ, the theme of Christ, is written for us. And so you have those writers that have wrote concerning him. Acts chapter 26. Again, you have Paul before Festus, in particular, King Agrippa. And Paul is on trial, and he's standing before Agrippa in verse 1. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You are permitted to speak for yourself." And Paul rehearses, if you will, his conversion before King Agrippa. And as he gets into verse 22, Paul there says, "Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come." So Paul in his preaching has reference to whom? He's having reference to Moses and the prophets, that which has come, that Christ, which is what Paul is teaching, that Christ would suffer, that he would first be raised from the dead and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Verse 24, now as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, you are beside yourself, much learning is driving you mad." And Paul's response to Festus, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason." Paul said, "I spoke truth. For the king, before whom I also speak freely, knows these things." I'm not sure, and maybe someone's got a better thing that he's having reference not only to what Paul has went through, but of other things also. When he says that the king knows very well what's taking place in Paul's life. But also other things, as we read, that the king also speaks freely of these things. For I am convinced that none of these things escape his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets?" And Paul, in making that statement, draws his own conclusion about what King Agrippa believed. Was Paul correct in his reasoning that, "King Agrippa, you do believe the scriptures, don't you?" Paul arrived at that because he knew. He knew exactly that King Agrippa knew what he was talking about concerning Christ. It says, "Then Agrippa said to Paul, 'You almost persuade me to become a Christian.'" Again, Paul reasoned with Agrippa from the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures. In verse 27 of the prophets and Moses concerning Christ. And Paul tells Agrippa, "You know fully well what the scriptures say." He could not deny what Paul was saying was truth because he knew the scriptures. Anyone else have any thoughts on that? So again, hopefully there would be other scriptures you can turn to that relates to this. But these are enough to show that the theme runs consistent throughout the Old Testament. And to prove what they were teaching, that which the Holy Spirit revealed to the apostles, and that we have the writings of the New Testament, they used as their source of authority, as Christ did, the Old Testament, to show what they were saying likewise was truth. And it began to be wrote down for them that we have the New Testament. Even at that time, some was being written during the time of the apostles. But again, when you look at the Old Testament prophets, we'd ask the question, Acts chapter 3 and verse 24, talks about from Samuel onward, there was a number of prophets. And again, I believe that speaks about those who wrote the Old Testament prophets, or Old Testament scriptures. But there were so many other prophets, some named, that had no particular, as far as the writing. When you look at, and I think Larry made reference to this, in Genesis chapter 20, in verse 7, as we asked the question last week, Genesis 20 and verse 7, as Abraham and Sarah spoke Ahimelech, and they mentioned that they're brothers and sisters, in verse 7, God tells Abimelech, "Now therefore restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet." Did Abraham write any books? But he was a prophet. So you have prophets who prophesied. And what would Abraham, if all the prophets prophesied about one thing, what would be Abraham as far as his prophesying? The same as those who wrote the New Testament books. Same thing. The promise was made to him and to his children. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the fathers, was told that they would be, through them all nations would be blessed. That was through Christ. That would be their prophesying of what they were teaching about. Deuteronomy chapter 34. Verse 10 says, "But since then there has not been arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." I know of no other statement in the Bible that relates to a person who knew God face to face. But it's recorded here for us that the prophet Moses did. That God spoke directly to him at Mount Sinai. And again, what would have been the things that are the theme of Moses prophesying? Again, it has to be to that of Christ. 1 Samuel 19 and verse 20. Then Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the group of prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as a leader over them, the Spirit of God came upon the messengers of Saul, and they all prophesied. Again, you just have reference here, the prophets. We're not given a list of how many that is. It could have been two. It could have been 10. It could have been 50. It could have been 100. Again, trying to get you to see that there were numerous prophets, probably more prophets not mentioned than those that are mentioned. And again, the thought or the theme is the same through all the prophets, that they, what they taught. 2 Kings 4 and verse 38, someone read.
And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said to his servants, sit on grape pot and seed pottage for the sons of the prophets.
Huh? Now the sons of the prophets, you have a plurality of prophets, you have a plurality of sons to these prophets. That could have been several, we don't know. But again, the idea of trying to get you to see that God had prophets. And so I often think of that in Romans chapter 1, that the world is without excuse for not knowing God. Because God's prophets were there to teach concerning Christ. Did you have... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's interesting too that when Saul was anointed to be king of Israel, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 10:10 that there was a company of prophets that met him, that he prophesied with him. Then in Jeremiah's writing, he talks about God sent the prophets rising early. And that references 1 Kings 18 to Obadiah, hiding 100 of the prophets in caves. So.
You have that? If you get a chance, look at... Ezekiel, I believe it's chapter 13. Look at the book of Ezekiel. He deals with prophets and prophecies, women prophets. Okay? And so the list, you know, that's just a few that Donnie mentioned. But it's just, you know, the God spokespeople were out there on that. When you look at some, when you turn to Exodus chapter 15 and verse 20, it says, then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and dances. And so you have women prophets. Judges chapter 4 and verse 4. Zeus said, now Deborah, the prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judge of Israel at the time. So you have particular prophecies mentioned in the Bible. 2 Kings chapter 22. In verse 14. Now Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, Achor, and Shaphan, Azariah, went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum. And so you have a prophet there. She's also mentioned if you turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. And if you are familiar with this chapter during the reign of Josiah, when the lost book was found in verse 14, the book of Law, they brought this book to Huldah. In verse 22 it says, so Hilkiah and those of the king had appointed went to Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shalam, the son of Tokath, the son of Hazra, keeper of the wardrobe, and she dwelt in Jerusalem in the second quarter. They spoke to her to that effect, and she answered them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and all its inhabitants, all the curses which are written in the book. So when they found the book, they took that book, the book of law, and took it to whom? This prophetess. And she explained to them what the book said. And so she was able to relate that. Nehemiah. Chapter chapter 6. Verse 14. Now God remembered Tobiah, Sanballat, according to their works, and the prophets, Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets. Here you have a false prophet, prophets mentioned. There may be others. That's particular ones that I've found that were named, and the references made to those that are not named also. That some may know. When you look at the New Testament, you have Anna in Luke chapter 2 and verse 36. You have the four daughters in Acts chapter 21, as Lord pointed out, 8 and 9, who prophesied. Jezebel is mentioned in Revelation 2 and verse 20 as a false prophetess, but she prophesied. But again, you have the true prophets and the false prophets. And so you had men and women who were true prophets that prophesied concerning Christ and the theme of the Old Testament. Again, as we mentioned in Acts chapter 3, beginning at Samuel, the rest of the prophets is having reference to Samuel and the major and minor prophets. My figures may not be correct, so it's just for your study. But there are 54 who are identified. In other words, who are named from Genesis to Malachi. What I've looked, they may be more or less, but I come up with 54. But again, as we look at, God has many more that are referred to and not named. When you look, as we mentioned, of the major and the minor prophets, they all begin with the vision of or the word of the Lord came to. When you look at the New Testament, and I ask that you look at those books, how many prophets does Matthew refer to? And the reason I mention this is this. What was their theme? What did they use as their source of authority, these apostles, in preaching the gospel that we have today? It's likewise, not only have they recorded its truth, but we have it verified in previous writings. I guess a twofold. Matthew refers to 10 prophets in his writings. Again, he refers to a prophet more than once in the things he quotes from that prophet. Okay, I'm just saying he refers to 10 to 10 prophets. Okay? Mark refers to 9 prophets. Again, I ask you the question, are the prophets or Old Testament scriptures referred into every New Testament book? And the point being, what did they use as their standard in teaching? Luke, John, and Acts refers to 7 prophets. The book of Romans refers to 9 prophets. 1 and 2 Corinthians together to 7 prophets. And Galatians and Ephesians 5. Philippians 2, Colossians 3. 1 and 2 Thessalonians 5. Kind of get a theme what's going on here? When the apostles was teaching? What they were using? Titus 2, Hebrews 12. And of course, it's contrasting the old and new, so we can understand the Hebrew writer referring to several Old Testament prophets and what the scriptures that they wrote. 2 Peter has 4, Jude 1, and Revelation has 4 that they refer to prophets. And that would eliminate what, 1 and 2 John? Get me out here. What else did I do? Timothy. Okay? Would that be it? And Philemon, okay? Even, you know, the short book, 23 verses, something of Jude, contains one referring to that, okay? But we'll finish this lesson up next week. We'll stop there. But again, you can go back if you want to look at just say of Matthew, these 10 prophets that Matthew refers to, how many quotations does Matthew use from the Old Testament in his 28 chapters? Okay. Anything else? Thank you.